All right, good morning, everyone. So welcome back. We are continuing in our journey in Sefer Tehillim. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Blini Michelle and Shandy Kelman as a Zechus Refua Shalema for David Ben Naomi. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, he together with Kol Chole Yisrael have a continued Refua Shalema. So we're continuing in Meretz Hashem in Kapitel Nun Aleph, 51. We actually began 51 before the break. So remember, again, this Kapitel, just to give us a little bit of context, La Natseach Nizmor LeDavid, we noted already from the beginning that this is a very special Kapitel. How do we know it's a special Kapitel? Because we have two introductory words, La Natseach and Mizmor, which means not just simple song, but incredible simcha-filled song. We discussed the idea, this is Bevo Elav Nasan Hanavi Kasher Ba El Bas Shava. So remember again, amazingly enough, throughout Sefer Tehillim, we often have there are many more than two different types of psalms. But for our purposes this morning, two different types of kapitlach, two different types of chapters, one in which the historical reality is clear and apparent within the words of the kapitel, and others from which we must surmise. So again, in this particular kapitel, we're told quite explicitly that this is occurring after the prophet Nasan confronts David about the episode with Bathsheba. And that's why you'll notice that the entire theme of this particular kapitel is one of tshuva, one of repentance. David HaMelech doing tshuva. Again, remember, David HaMelech, in many respects, is the paradigm for tshuva. If you want to know the paradigmatic example of tshuva within Tanakh, I mean, there could be more than one potential answer to this, but certainly one of at least the top three, if not the top one, is David's reaction to his misstep with Bathsheba, and ultimately taking ownership over the circumstance, taking responsibility for the circumstances, not giving excuses for his behavior, owning the mistake, apologizing for the mistake, trying to figure out how to regroup from the mistake. And that's really the entire essence of this kapitel. So I want to draw your attention today. We're going to focus on one pasuk, and that's pasuk Yud Beis. By the way, the other beauty of this kapitel is there are many well-known phrases that come out from this particular chapter, one of which we're going to focus on today. Pasuk Yud Beis, I want to draw your attention to. Verse 12. Leif tahar bera li Elokim. Literally translated, create for me a pure heart, O God, v'ruach nachon chadesh bekirbi, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So we're going to analyze today a little bit, trying to understand what is David HaMelech asking for in this kapitel, what is he requesting in this kapitel, what's the nature of this particular supplication. Because remember, David HaMelech has already asked, for example, if you go back even to Pasuk Dalet, to verse 4, you could already see David HaMelech says, Harev kapsini me'avoni, o mechatosi tahareini. Wash me thoroughly of my iniquity and purify me of my sins. So David HaMelech has already asked, Ribono Sha'olam, I've done something wrong. I'm asking you to cleanse me and purge me from my sin. He's already asked for that. So, in Pasuk Yud Beis, it sounds like he's saying the same thing. Leif tahar bera elokim, God, give me a new heart. Create for me a pure heart. V'ruach nachon chadesh bekirbi. And renew a steadfast. So it sounds like he's asking the same thing in Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, that he asked for in verse 4. Now the truth is, it's quite possible that King David is just simply being repetitive. Why is it okay for him to be repetitive? Sorry? Because it's like poetry. That's the simplest. As remember again, Tehillim is not like poetry. Tehillim is poetry. So as such, again, remember, there's a difference when you're writing poetry than when you're just writing a paragraph. When you're writing a paragraph, the truth is, again, you try at all costs to avoid redundancy. But in poetry, redundancy often is very much part of the rhythm, part of the prose, part of the flow. So you see this, by the way, throughout Tehillim, that very often a kapitel will have a particular theme or thematic overtone, and David HaMelech will repeat himself, not for the sake of being redundant, not even for the sake of reinforcing the theme, but simply because that's the style.
It doesn't seem so redundant to me, though. It sounds like the Pasuk Dalet is talking about taking something that exists and washing it and cleansing it.
Something new. Good. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Absolutely. So let's analyze this a little bit and try to understand the deeper meaning of this pasuk. So let's take a look. Our first approach with Rashi. So Rashi says, Leif tahar bera li Elokim, shelo hakashal od. Now, I just want to point out something to you very interesting, just textually. If you weren't to have the English translation over here, you could vocalize this as Leif Tahor Bara Li Elokim. So Bara Li Elokim means what? God has created for me, past tense. But if you notice again the nekudos, thank God for vowels. So the pasuk says Leif Tahor Bara Li. So berali, Rashi picks up, means berali alokim shalo ekasha, all this future tense. Ribono Shel Olam Dor HaMelech is asking, create for me future tense a leif tahor. Give me a pure heart. Why am I asking for a pure heart, says Rashi, or says David HaMelech, shalo ekasha od. I am interested in not repeating the same missteps. I'm interested in not making the same mistakes again. Therefore, Ribono Shel Olam, give me a purified heart, give me a pure, a leif tahor, so that I should not stumble again. Similarly, the Ibn Ezra number 3 writes, leif, pavur shehiskir, kilchola ba'avon, vihita hataivan atua, heviosio lechait. So since David HaMelech has already pointed out earlier in the capital that because of his desires, and because of many of those desires which are innate within us, David HaMelech sinned, yispalel el Hashem, sheyazru al yitzro, shelo yechete pam acheres, chait kazeh, vizeh leif tahor. So the Ibn Ezra takes this a step further. Ibn Ezra says, what does it mean when David HaMelech asks for leif tahor baralikim, God, give me a pure heart? What David HaMelech is saying, Ribono Shel Olam, I am reaching out to you to help me avoid making the same mistakes in the future. Now there are two very profound things over here. Number one, to understand David HaMelech is saying is, we are creatures of habit. So because we are creatures of habit, once I've done something once, it increases the statistical probability that what? That I will do it again. This is very important. Once you've done, that's why the Gemara says, Kevan shenaasa aveira v'nishnasbo. Once a person does something negative twice, the Gemara says, naasis lo keheter. It becomes like it's permitted. You know, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, well, if that's twice, once you do it three times, not only is it permitted, but what? Na'as is lo kemitzvah, the Baal Shem Tov says. Right? Meaning, it's very important to understand this, that once you break down a barrier, we know this from our own life experiences, there are certain things that I would say I would never do. Okay? So there's a barrier that's erected there. Once I knock down the barrier and I do that thing, whatever that thing is, fill in the blank, then again, once I've broken down the barrier, the ability to repeat that mistake over and over and over again is absolutely there. So David HaMelech is saying something absolutely amazing. Ribono Shel Olam, I have experienced a lapse in morality. Once that has occurred, the ability for me to repeat that same mistake again is absolutely there. And for me to think that I've conquered the temptation, for me to think that I'm beyond it, for me to think that I will never do this again, would be delusional. Therefore, Ribono Shel Olam, God, what I'm asking of you is the following. Leif Tahor Bara Li Elokim. I'm reaching out to you, and we'll see exactly what these words mean, but I'm asking you to give me a new heart, which is another way of saying, I'm asking for your assistance to assure and to ensure that I do not repeat the same mistakes in life. Take a look at number 4, because what this does for us is it opens up a fascinating discussion. So the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin says the following: V'amar Rav Shimon Levi, Yitzro shel Adam niskaber alav bechol yom umevakish hamiso. The Yetzahara. Now again, we've spoken about this before. The Yetzahara, the evil inclination, you know, is not some little guy in a red suit, you know, with horns and a pitchfork, who sits on my shoulder and entices me to sin. The Yetzirah, what we call the evil inclination, is for whatever the reason. Well, we know the reason. The Ribono Shel Olam created us with internal, innate, self-sabotaging mechanisms. This happens to us all the time in life. I want to accomplish something, I don't end up doing it. And okay, you can blame it on this one, you can blame it on that one. More often than not, when we don't accomplish the things we want to accomplish, it's because we sabotaged ourselves. Sometimes it's because of laziness, that I have to admit. Sometimes just because I didn't try hard enough. But sometimes I just put in the mechanism, but I pulled the rug out from under myself. That's called the Yetzirah. That's self-sabotaging, internal, innate mechanism. That's called the Yetzirah. So the Gemara highlights an incredible dynamic, which is the more pious one becomes, the more spiritually proficient one becomes, the stronger the pull of that self-sabotaging mechanism becomes as well. Which, if you think about it, is the polar opposite of everything else in life. Think about this for just a moment. If a person is a physician, so the longer you practice medicine, then what? The more proficient you become. You can fill in the blank with that. A person is a basketball player. The more you practice every day, the more proficient you become. A person is a Torah scholar. The more you learn, the more proficient you become. Amazingly enough, and that formula applies in everything else, in everything in life. The longer I'm married, the more proficient I become. I don't know if that formula proves well there. Maybe that might be another exception. But in everything else in life, the more effort you put in and the more time you put in, the more proficient you become at whatever that thing is. The one thing in life that does not follow this paradigm is spirituality. The holier one becomes, the harder it often becomes to maintain that level. This, we all struggle with this, and this is the great anomaly of spirituality. You know, Rav Soloveitchik says that all of Ruchnius, the entire spiritual pursuit of man, could almost be summarized in two words. Eilecha mimecha. The closer I come to you, sometimes the further I feel from you. That sometimes when we go ahead and we make advances in our ruchnius, we make advances in our spirituality, and we push ourselves and we grow, I assume that the temptations should lessen. Or even if they don't lessen, I should be able to manage them more easily. And yet, amazingly enough, what do we find? The opposite is true. That sometimes the more I grow, the holier I become, the more I push myself, the more I seem to be prone to certain temptations and desires. And not only that, but the more I grow and the more I push myself, the more additional temptations seem to bombard me. Now, the truth is, it may sound illogical, but it's absolutely logical. Because remember, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the Yetzer Hara? Why did He create for us that internal self-sabotaging mechanism? Because that is the very vehicle for growth. Without the internal self-sabotaging mechanism, there is no friction to grow. So it makes sense. The more I grow, the more that internal self-sabotaging mechanism becomes stronger and tries to branch out to other ways to get me to pull the rug out from underneath myself. So this is what the Gemara means over here. Yitzro shel adam, number four. Yitzro shel adam miskaber alav b'chol yom. The Yetzer Hara. The Yetzirah. Now you know, again, internal self-sabotaging mechanism becomes stronger every single day. And by the way, it becomes stronger no matter what. Meaning, if I do nothing, if I don't grow spiritually, or I decline spiritually, then of course the fact would become stronger. But here's the amazing part. Even if I push myself, grow stronger every single day, it's the amazing part. The stronger I grow, the stronger my internal self-sabotaging mechanism, i.e. the Yetzirah, becomes as well. We're linked at the hip, right? We're linked at the soul. He's with me from the day I come into this world, and He's with me till the day I live. And whatever I do, I grow, He grows. And what's the job of the Yitzhar? So literally, it's a very dramatic wording. Mevakei shamiso means He tries to kill me. That doesn't mean He tries to kill me. Meaning, not necessarily physically, but spiritually. The job of that self-sabotaging mechanism is to figure out how I'm going to pull the rug out from under myself. And we're not for the fact that God helps us every single day, ein yacholo. We would not be able to overcome that internal self-sabotaging mechanism. Elokim lo ya'azvenu biyado. So this is exceptionally important. What the Gemara is telling us is the following. That at the end of the day, the only way we are able to be successful in the spiritual battles of life is because God is at our side. I cannot meet any spiritual challenge by myself. In order to do it, I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me every step of the way. To take this a little bit further, take a look at number 5. The Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah says the following. Remember again, on the high holidays, on Yom Noraim, so the prayer, the tefillah that takes kind of center stage is the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes of God. Right. So remember again, the Yud Gimel Midos begin with Hashem, Hashem. The Gemara says in number 5, Hashem, Hashem, why do we repeat God's name twice? as part of the 13 attributes. Ani hu kodem shiyechet ha'adam. So God says, I am your God before you sin. Va'ani hu la'achar shiyechet ha'adam yaseh tshuva. And I'm there for you after you sin as well. So if you look at number 6, the Rabbeinu Asher, the Rush asks, he says, Lama tzarech rachamim terem chet? I understand why I need divine compassion after I sin. Why do I need divine compassion before I sin? That's Hashem. Hashem represents the bookends. God is compassionate upon us before we sin. That's the first Hashem. God is compassionate upon us after we sin. Divine compassion post-sin, I understand, because I've sinned. Really, again, technically speaking, a person sins, they should be punished instantaneously. Divine compassion has a whole mechanism that allows us to kind of get out of that spiritual rut. But why do I need divine compassion prior to sin? So look what the Rush... No, because remember, I have free will. God doesn't interfere with my free will to sin. So look what the Rush says in number 6. Shelo ye'amesh av shechote lebasof basherusham. So the Rush says something amazing. You know, there are many... One of the incredible things about being God, there are many perks to that job, right? But one of the incredible things about God is that He's all-knowing. So, which remember, we're not going to get into this now, but perhaps the premier theological question that exists when you have an omniscient God is how do I have free choice if God knows what I'm going to do? So, you know, the Rambam tackles this question, and essentially he answers it by saying, don't worry about it. That's pretty much what he says. You don't understand God. We don't understand God. Don't worry about it. All I know is that I have free choice. My life is what I make of it. But interestingly enough, what the Rush says is that even though God knows I am going to sin, He does not hold me accountable for my actions until when? Until I actually sin. That's the first Hashem. Even though He knows exactly what it is that I'm going to do before I do it, He does not judge me from the vantage point of His omniscience, of His all-knowingness, but rather He only judges me after I act. And in fact, if you look at number 7, the Aruch Lener, Rav Etlinger, he has a different approach. He says something very beautiful, and he has that, Yesh Tafarish, he says, I think the way to understand this is the following. He's quoting over here the Gemara that we quoted, well, it's the same Gemara that we quoted in number 4. Yitzro shal adam miskaber alav b'chol yom. Man's Yetzirah intensifies against him every day. And were not for the fact that God were to help us, lo yocholo, we would not be able to overcome that self-sabotaging mechanism. So Ksiv Hashem lo yazenu, ve'ein lecha midas harachamim gadol mizeh, she'achadosh baruch hu ozro kol ushiyachta. So the Aruch Lener says something amazing. Go back up to number 5 for just a moment. Hashem, Hashem. I understand the second Hashem, which is the divine compassion after I sin. That's where midas harachamim, the divine attribute of compassion and mercy comes in. God gives me the opportunity to do tshuva, to repent, to change myself around before He punishes me for my sin. What's the first Hashem? The first Hashem is the fact that God is by my side helping me to avoid sin to begin with. God is there by my side helping me to avoid sin to begin with. That's the first Hashem. So if we tie this all together, what the Gemara is really teaching us is the following. You see, we often think that we confront our struggles all alone. We often think that we manage the challenges all alone. We think that when we overcome something, we overcome it all alone. And what it's important for us to understand is that Ribono Shel Olam is always aiding us each and every day in our struggles, in our challenges. Like sometimes we see the divine assistance, sometimes we feel the divine assistance. What the Gemara is telling us is even if you don't see it, and even if you don't feel it, it's absolutely there. Because, how do I know that? I know that because if it weren't there, forget about falling flat on our face, we would be on our face and never be able to stand up. Meaning the fact that we could walk around, overcome our challenges, rebound, is only because the Ribono Shel Olam proactively helps us in the face of every single challenge. So what is King David teaching us? So David HaMelech, therefore, according to Rashi, according to Ibn Ezra, that's his supplication. Leif tahar berali Elokim, Ribono Shel Olam, I need your help in facing my challenges. I need your help in facing the challenges I know and facing the challenges I don't know. You see, we often only recognize God in the challenges of which we are aware. But for each of us, every single day, there are challenges that should have come our way, that the Ribono Shel Olam diverted from us for a whole variety of reasons. Either because he feels that our plate is already full enough, or perhaps because he feels that what I'm holding in life, I can't handle this particular challenge. Whatever the reason is, you see, we often have a very myopic view of life. And we have a myopic view of life, but we think we have a panoramic view of life. I think I know anything and everything that is happening in my life. Whereas all I see is what's right in front of me. The Ribono Shel Olam has the panoramic view of life, and what he's doing is, he is the one, it's like Lahavdil, you know, if an army has to cross a minefield, right? So what do? They're not going to send the whole army into the minefield. Instead, they send in somebody to sweep the minefield. They send in some group of people, sweep the minefield. The Ribono Shel Olam sweeps the minefield for us every single day. I'm asleep, and he's already sweeping the minefield. He's already detonated this one, detonated that one, cleared this. Again, it doesn't mean that there aren't going to be a ton of challenges coming my way, but who could imagine what he's already swept out of my way even before I get up in the morning? And it's important for us to recognize that the Ribono Shel Olam is actively sweeping for us every moment of every day in ways that I don't even know. You see, we often lose ourselves in the challenges we have. Ribono Shel Olam, where are you? How can you do this for me? We have to be careful, because sometimes when you say things like that, it lacks a little bit of gratitude for all of the unseen and unknown things that God does for us every single day. It doesn't minimize our challenges. Some of us face some quite acute challenges, but who knows what the Ribono Shel Olam has cleared from my path in the interim. That's Leif Tahar Baralikim Davar HaMelech Sein Ribono Shel Olam. I recognize I cannot navigate life without you. So I'm asking you, because remember again, without going all the way back, David HaMelech gets himself into trouble with Bathsheba. Why? You remember the backstory. We've studied a couple of times. David HaMelech is on his rooftop, and what does he say to God? He essentially says to God, I got this. I'm good. I have the Yetzirah beat. I am good. I've owned this. I've beaten the Yetzirah into submission. I'm good. Thank you for all of your help until now. I could fly solo now. And what happens? The moment he says, the Ribono Shel Olam says, and remember, David HaMelech says, test me. God says, no. David HaMelech says, test me. God says, no. David HaMelech says, come on, God, I can handle this. Ribono Shel Olam says, no, you can't. So finally, again, very important to understand, Ribono Shel Olam is like any wonderful parent when you have especially older children. Try to give your children as much hadrach as possible, but at a certain point in time, they've got to find their own way. And very often what that means is they are going to try to flap their wings, realize they can't fly, and come crashing down. But you know what? That's a growth experience as well. So David HaMelech says, God, I got this. I could leave the nest. And what happens? The moment he thinks that he does not need the Ribono Shel Olam's assistance, God to hold his hand, he falls flat on his face in a very dramatic way. Therefore, David HaMelech is teaching us that each and every day we have to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his help in navigating life's challenges. What King David teaches us is a profound idea. I have to ask for God's help in two ways. Help me with the challenges I know about, and thank you for continuously clearing the challenges I don't know about. But the beautiful part that King David is teaching us is, we do not face any challenge alone in life. Sometimes we feel alone, and understandably so. Sometimes we feel forsaken. Sometimes we feel those words of Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani, why have you left me alone to my own devices to figure this out? But David HaMelech says, as much as emotionally I may feel that, spiritually I know that that is never the case. The Jew never navigates anything alone. The Jew never has to address any situation solo. The Ribono Shel Olam is always by my side, helping me with the challenges I know about and clearing away from my path numerous challenges that I will never know about. Take a look at number 9. We'll skip a little bit. So first of all, I'll tell you number 8. The Radak says something very interesting. The Radak says, actually, skip to number 9. Skip number 9. So the Al-Sheikh, the Radak builds on it, but we'll focus a little bit more over here. So the Al-Sheikh says something quite beautiful. The Al-Sheikh says, O Yomar, but now the Al-Sheikh is a little bit more of an esoteric, mystically, Kabbalistically based commentary. You'll see that come out over here. So the Al-Sheikh writes, O Yomar, Bishum Leiv Elomro, Belev B'riya B'ruach Chidush, Ki V'hu, Ki Ruach Yomar, Al Rucho V'nishmaso Shebekirbo. So what the Al-Sheikh says is the following. Let me read one more line. Vahu, second line, right after the period. Vahu, ki hine ein safek, ki nefesh ha'adam ba'adam, ayideh ha'avo nifgemes. So remember, the nefesh, the soul of man, is tarnished through sin. When I go ahead and I engage in spiritually negative behavior, I am pogame. Like pogame literally means like I blunt the effectiveness, I blunt the holiness, I drain some of the spirituality from my soul. And certainly the heart. Remember, the heart is physical. So sin, not only the fact that sin impacts my physical heart, that's obvious. That's obvious. But not only does sin affect the lave, sin also affects the nefesh. Sin affects the soul as well. Ve'ein safek ki ein tikun shneihem shava. But it's also clear that what it takes to remedy the pegima, right, the blunting of the soul, is different than what it takes to remedy the pegima, the blunting of the heart. Ki anefesh lihiosa chelek elokam mimal, the fact that the soul is a literal spark from God, kala lekabel tara al yidei shefa elyon. There's a very easy way to remedy if the soul has been damaged anyway through sin. The very easy way, easy, quote unquote, right, to remedy that damage is how? Through a flow of divine energy. The soul is a part of God. It's a spark of the Ribono Shel Olam. So Kadosh Baruch Hu could remedy any deficiency in the soul by allowing some of his divine energy to flow from above into me, right? Into us. That ultimately, again, remedies the damage to the soul. He says, Mehalei kibasuhu. Remedying the damage of the heart is much more difficult. Alkein, al halev amar, Leif tahar mipegam berali elokim michadash shelo yaspik harakas hashefa ma but mabo acher shenifkam. Therefore, David HaMelech says, Ribono Shel Olam, when I go ahead and I make a mistake, what I need you to give me is not to fix my heart, because to fix the heart is difficult. Instead, what I need is what? Leif tahar berali. I need a new heart. I need a new heart. I need you to push the restart button for me. I need you to allow me to go ahead and start all over again. He says, "Achruchi ini omer bara mechadosh, rak shetashpia ba ruach tara, shetischadish odena bikerbi." So the Al-Sheikh makes an amazing observation. He says, "Go back to number one for just a moment." David HaMelech says two different things: Leif tahor berali Elokim, God, I need you to give me a pure heart. Now, the way the Al-Sheikh understands, pure is how? Pure is synonymous with?
New.
New. Give me a new heart. Why? Because sometimes the impact of sin is so dramatic that a flow of your divine energy will not remedy my heart, the physicality that I have damaged. Instead, I'm asking for a new start, spiritual amnesty. I'm asking you to allow me, if I take ownership over my sin, admit my sin, apologize for my sin, pledge to do better, I need you in return to give me a new heart. Leif tahar barali Elokim, v'ruach nachon chadesh bekirbi. But for my soul, for my neshama, I don't need a new neshama. All I need is what? Ruach nachom. All I need is some spiritual energy to flow from you into me, and that'll give me the spiritual jumpstart for my soul. So for my heart, for my lave, I need a new one. For my neshama, all I need is a little bit of a flow of divine energy to jumpstart things. So according to the Al-Sheikh, what David HaMelech is really asking for in this beautiful pasuk, Leif tahar bara li Elokim, v'ruach nachon chadesh b'kir, what is David HaMelech asking for? A new beginning. Ribono Shel Olam, I've messed up. I've messed up big. I've made a dramatic mistake that has the ability to forever compromise the quality, the nature, and the power of my identity. What I'm asking of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a fresh start. Give me a brand new start in this world. That brand new start is going to manifest itself in two ways. I need a brand new start for my heart, which requires a new heart. I need a brand new start for my neshama, which is divine energy, because anything and everything about me has somehow become sullied as a result of this sin. David HaMelech is asking for a brand new start. For those who were on the Eretz Yisrael trip, this was the last piece that we discussed about the brand new piece of parchment. David HaMelech was asking for a brand new start, a brand new beginning. Now, why is David HaMelech asking for a brand new beginning? And this, I'm telling you, is going to blow you away. Look what he writes in number 9. Last lines. Hakavana lomar shelo titztarech lekabel chidush. El hit galgel beish acher. David HaMelech is saying, Ribono shel olam, I don't want to have to come back to the world another time. So what is the Ash? So again, I'm going to explain this to you to the best of my abilities. My knowledge of these things obviously falls dramatically short. But very simple, what the Ash Chasam has defined is the concept of Gilgal. Right now, often in English, people translate that as reincarnation. We don't believe in the general concept, meaning you're not coming back as a cat, you know, or as a couch. You know, that's not. There's a concept that every single person has a topless. Every single person has a purpose in this world. And if I live life and I don't fulfill my purpose, then my neshama is incomplete. A neshama could only enter into Gan Eden if it completed its work in this world. If it hasn't completed the work in this world, the neshama cannot enter in, at least to the fullest form of Gan Eden, to the world to come. So the Ribono Shel Olam has a mechanism. It's called Gilgal. And Gilgal allows the neshama to come back and ultimately rectify what it did not rectify in a past life. Just as an aside, by the way, I found this to be incredibly instructive. The Arizal says, sometimes a person is drawn to a particular Aveira. And no matter how much I try, I cannot overcome a particular desire for a particular Aveira. The Arizal says, if that happens to you, he says, and again, he says, most probably that means that your neshama is a Gilgal, and that your neshama came back into this world to rectify and to remedy that particular sin. That's your avodah in this world. So sometimes we find ourselves unexplainably drawn to certain desires and certain things, and no matter how hard I try, I can't seem to overcome it. Says the Arizal, just know, that's your tachlis. That's your purpose. That's your tachlis. Yeah. So says David HaMelech something amazing. Says the Ribono Shel Olam, I need a new start. Why do I need a new start? Because I recognize that there's a lot I have to accomplish. And I'm scared. I'm scared that I'm not going, see, there are two ways you could look at Gilgal. You could look at Gilgal as, wow, that's great news. That takes the pressure off. Incredibly, right? Because now, all right, I'm really going to try hard to get it right. But if I don't get it right, good news, there's take two. Maybe there's take three, take four. You have to understand, it's the worst punishment in the world. Because when a person leaves this world, and the neshama sees the beauty and the majesty of basking in the grandeur of the Ribono Shel Olam, when the neshama gets a glimpse and gets a shmek, you know, gets a smell of Gan Eden, and knows what it can have, the Ribono Shel Olam says, sorry, you have to go back down. It's gut-wrenching. It's heartbreaking.
But you don't know it. The person doesn't know they're back here as a Gilgal. So how could it be heart-wrenching?
The neshama knows. The neshama knows. You know what? I think there are people who do feel it. I think very often the problem is we don't have enough of a direct line of communication between our body and our soul. But I guarantee there are absolutely people who feel it. Right? Often the communication lines are quite fuzzy between the body and soul. And so what happens? So the neshama comes back, and that is the greatest thing for the neshama. When the soul sees where it could be, and now it's forced to come back down to this world, heartbreaking. David HaMelech is saying, Ribono Shel, and this is an incredible insight. According to the Al-Sheikh, David HaMelech is saying, Ribono Shel Olam, you know, sometimes we think that the greatest manifestation or the greatest negative outcome of sin is what? Is the onesh, is the punishment that occurs. What King David is teaching us is that really the greatest negative manifestation of sin is the fact that I lose my way in life. You know what sin does? Sin takes your eye off the prize. Sin takes your eye off the finish line. I have a particular mission in life. All of us have a particular mission in life. Now, it's quite navoda to figure out what that is. And by the way, it might not be one mission, it might be multiple missions. Right. But we all should be running towards certain finish lines in life. And you know what chet does? You know what chet does? Chet ultimately, again, is what distracts us. Is what distracts us ultimately from engaging in the important work in life. And sometimes what ends up happening, and unfortunately, it happens every day. You know, when you're distracted often enough and long enough, you know what ends up occurring, Nebuch? You forget where you were even going.
Right.
You forget where you were even, oh, I'm going towards the finish. I forgot about that finish line long ago, and you would be surprised. This happens to people all of the time. I started out with a clear idea of where I need to go, what I need to accomplish. This happened. And by the way, it's not just sin. There are a lot of things that ultimately just take our attention away from what I need to be focused on in life. This happened, that happened, I did this, I did that. And before you know it, 10 years go by, 20 years go by, person saying vidui on their deathbed, and they realize, you know what? I got sidelined on the shoulder of life, and I never got back onto the highway. And it's my sin. It happens every single day. David HaMelech says, Ribono Shel Olam, this episode of Batsheva, it's not just the pshat that I sinned. Okay, I did something bad. I had a lapse in my personal level of morality. But more than that, this sidelined me from pursuing the things I need to do in life. I am David HaMelech. I am father of a dynastic monarchy. I'm father of the messianic line. There are things I need to accomplish. There are things I need to do. So it's not just the pshat that I did something wrong. I need to do tshuva. I've been sidelined from the dynamic activity of life that is my divine mandate in this world. And I'm so scared that I'm going to continue on the shoulder, you know, with my hazard lights on. You know, some people drive through life at 15 miles an hour with the hazard lights on in the shoulder, right? Like mamash, like they have four flat tires. And that's how they just continue to trudge along life, not realizing that they should be on the left lane doing 70 in the Easy Pass Express lane, accomplishing what they need to do. So David HaMelech is saying, Ribono Shel Olam, I've been sidelined and I'm so scared that I'm not going to be able to regroup, I'm not going to be able to get back my focus, and I'm not going to be able to accomplish the things I need to. And therefore, what does he say? Ribono Shel Olam, here's what I need. I need a restart. I need a restart. I need to be able, leif tahar, give me a new heart. You need to give me a do-over. Again, because now what ends up happening is in the aftermath of sin, I'm not operating on all cylinders. I need a restart. I need a new beginning. I need a new heart. I need some new energy to revitalize my soul because there are things that I need to accomplish. This, says the Al-Sheikh, is what David HaMelech is asking. Why? Because David HaMelech understands that the scariest, I think I mentioned this before, people often, and this is just my own theory, you could feel free to disagree with it. I think I mentioned this last class, maybe some other class. You know, people think that after 120, the scariest thing, you know, we all have our one-on-one performance review with God. Like 120-year performance review. So often we get nervous about that because we think, what's going to happen? The Ribono Shel Olam is going to take out the loose leaf, right? And on the spiral it says, Silber's sins, you know? And he's going to go through it one by one, and it's going to be exceptionally uncomfortable. And Halavai should just be one loose leaf, right? That would be a major accomplishment also. And it's going to be exceptionally uncomfortable. Well, then it's alphabetized, and it's, you know, least severe to most severe, you know, repeat offenses, and it's very uncomfortable. So I don't think that's the most uncomfortable piece of the performance review, because there's an easy answer to that. What's the easy answer to that? I own it. I did it. But you're also responsible, God. You know, you made me. You gave me frailties. You gave me desires. You gave me wants. You programmed me with certain dispositions, certain proclivities. So I have to own my mistakes. But you, Ribono Shel Olam, also have to take some level of responsibility for it because you're my creator. You're meaning, you know, you should have looked a little bit more carefully under the hood before you sent me down here into this world with all the things that are not working well. So I'll take my part. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to take your part also. The scariest part of the performance review is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. So like any performance review. So, right? So what's a good employer knows, how do you conduct a performance review? You call your employee in, and the first thing you ask is, how do you think you're doing? Right? Get their feedback. So Moshe is saying, how do you think you did? well, I recognize the first part. I think I did pretty good. I guarantee you, the Baal Shem is going to say for each of us, he did a great job. Because we try hard. And that's all Kalish Baruch Hu wants. He wants us to try. He wants us to put an effort. And I guarantee you, he's going to give us a big hug and a big kiss and a big embrace and an incredible Yashar Koach for the lives we led. No question. But then what he's going to say is, I have to show you something. And I want to show you, you did a great job. I want to show you what you could have done. What you could have done. And that's the other loose leaf or film, however he decides to display that to us. And he's going to show, he's going to give us an incredible Yashar Koach for the life we lived. But then he's going to show us the life we could have led. The people we could have become. The accomplishments we could have done. And that, I think, is the most heartbreaking part of that performance review. When I see what I could have been, who I could have been, what I could have accomplished, had I operated on all cylinders, had I done what I was supposed to do. And you know, when the neshama sees that, I can't, that's it, it's done. Meaning whatever I've done, understand the life you've lived is what you have to subsist on for all eternity. That's it. So I see it, I'm heartbroken, I guess I need to figure out a way to move on to... I don't know what the neshama does with that, but that is a reality. What David HaMelech is saying most is, Ribono Shel Olam, I don't want to get to you, I would say after 120, but after David HaMelech was after 70, I don't want to get there after 70, and I don't want you to tell me, great job, but you need to go back, because there's more you should have and need to accomplish. I don't want to have to come back to this world, which is another way of saying, I don't want to leave this world with things unaccomplished. I don't want to leave this world without having actualized my potential. I don't want to leave this world without having actualized the destiny that was meant for me. And this is an incredible insight. Because again, we often think that the most dramatic ripple effect of sin is the onesh, right? We're often very punishment focused. I did this avera, I did that avera, there's this punishment, there's that punishment. I will tell you, punishment is the easiest thing to deal with. Because Ribono Shel Olam loves us, cares about us, is compassionate, and has absolutely no interest in sustained punishment for his children. So if I'm sincere, I do tshuva, I can take care of punishment. The scariest byproduct of sin is this getting derailed from the journey of life. Suddenly, again, I've lost my way. And so often, once you lose your way, it is so hard to get back on track. And you can live out the rest of your life on a detour. Sin could be that dramatic that it could derail the journey to the point that I never find my way back to the intended highway of life. And David HaMelech says, that's what I'm scared of most. So Ribono Shel Olam, what I need from you is Leif Tabra Elokim. I need a new heart. I need a newly re-energized soul in order for me to be able to pick up where I left off. In order for me to be able to regroup. In order for me to be able to recapture what it is that I need to do in order that I don't have to come back. In the Al Sheikh's lingo over here, Gilgal is another world. Is another word for one who has failed to fully accomplish all he or she has to do in this world. Yes.
I find this so fascinating because wasn't it Adav? Isn't there a Medrash that says that Adav gave David 70 years?
Right.
And Adav was the one who said, "It's this woman you gave me." And here it is that we're talking about in this kapitza when Asad comes to him.
Right, and David owns the rest.
I owned it, and he's sort of completing what Adam wasn't able to complete.
Right,
he's
beautiful.
Really feeling that Gilgal concept. It doesn't want to have to come back
right.
For a different reason.
Beautiful, beautiful thoughts. Absolutely, absolutely. I'm sorry?
We didn't hear her comment.
So Adam HaRishon gives David 70 years of his life. Mm-hmm. Adam's failure was that he did not own his sin. David HaMelech owns the sin. So there is like a completing of a unit over here. Work that was begun with Adam HaRishon ultimately finishes with David HaMelech. Excellent. So let me just end off with, yes. It would be a lot more than nice. 100%. By the way, I am a full advocate for the post-it note birth method where you're born with the post-it note on your forehead. Baruch Shalom says, to do, absolutely. But understand, Therein lies the challenge of meaningful living. The reason why life is meaningful is because I have to work hard to figure out what my mission is. That if I was told, meaning if God communicated to me what it is that I'm supposed to do, then what's the real accomplishment? What's the real accomplishment? The avoda of life is the struggling ultimately to try to figure out what my purpose is. Yes?
This is a little bit off the track, but, you know, talking about getting a new lathe and everything like that, so have there been any shubas on people who've had heart transplants?
About whether or not that constitutes...
A new lathe.
Right. The answer is I'm sure there has. There are other hashkafic interesting discussions with organ transplant that have to. I've never thought about it in that particular context that having a lathe that is not your own. I don't know. It's a great question. I don't know. All right, I have homework. Yes. Oh, we're going to get to that. Good, excellent, absolutely. And by the way, that's part of this same exact theme. Part of what Paro does, and we'll discuss this, is loses any ability to see the finish line. That's the hardening of the heart means when your lave is so closed off that you see nothing but yourself. You don't see the world, you don't see life, you don't see the ramifications. Excellent, we're going to hit on that. Yes. Absolutely.
Does that spark for your soul need to come into you first before you get your pure heart?
Excellent question. The answer is no. The answer is you could only ask for God to do his part after I do mine. So my job is to admit my sin, own my sin, and do whatever is within my power to cleanse and purify myself. After I do my part, I say, well, okay, I've done my effort. I can't give myself a new life. And I can't go ahead and breathe new divine energy into my soul. But now let's form a synergistic partnership. I've done my piece, now you do your piece. But absolutely it requires of us to take heroic spiritual action first. I guess so. David HaMelech is asking for them. They really, to a certain degree, have to, because what David HaMelech is saying is, it's my heart and it's my soul that have been damaged by sin. I've done whatever I can do to repair the damage. Now I'm asking you to breathe, to give me those two things. I assumed it was simultaneously. I don't know. Could it be at two different stages, two different parts? I don't know. To get the pure, it's possible. It's definitely possible. And by the way, I would venture to say it could also be different for different people, right? Some people are more lave people. Some people are more neshama people. It could also have a lot. It could also depend on this. I don't know. Again, remember, we're talking about over here, we're talking about general concepts. But you know, whenever you talk about general concepts, the application of them on a personal level is always much more complicated. And I don't know that the concept necessarily applies or is applied in every single way in the same way. Okay, so now let me just show you. We have a couple of more minutes. I'll just begin this. I don't think we'll finish this week. But if you take a look at number 11, so what I'm intrigued by is this idea as to how one goes ahead and restarts. So David HaMelech is telling us that essentially I have the ability to go ahead and get a new heart and get a new soul. So far what we've seen in the capital, what we've seen in the chapter is David HaMelech is saying is if I do my part, admitting, owning, trying to rebuild myself, all the different pieces, then I could turn to God and ask him for his peace, or I could ask him for that new heart and that re-energized soul. But I think that there's another piece over here in order to get that leif tar and that ruach nachon. Take a look at number 11. We'll just do this quickly. So, Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron al Paro, v'yasukin kasher tziva Hashem, v'yashlech Aaron es mateo lefnei paro v'nefarin. So remember again, it's going back, rewinding a little bit to last week's parasha. God commands Moshe to come to Paro and says to Moshe, if Paro asks you for a sign, here's what you should do. Take the staff, throw it down, it'll turn into a serpent, that's the sign. Look at number 11, verse 11. 11:11, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayikra gam par lachachomim v'lamachashvim v'yasu gam heim chartumim mitzrayim balatem. So Paro calls his wise men and his magicians, and they did the same thing. They did the same thing as Moshe, namely they turned the staff into a snake. So in number 12, the Ben Ishchai asks a very simple question. The Ben Ishchai says, why is Paro calling both Chachamim and Mechashvim? Chachamim are wise men, Mechashvim are sorcerers. So all Paro seemingly should have called, who should he have called? The sorcerers. Why does he need the wise men? So to make a very long story short, the Ben Ishchai explains, you can see his biography over here, the Ben Ishchai explains that these are two different disciplines. What's a mechashef? What's a mechashef? So a sorcerer is someone who could take something in its natural state and transform it into something else. What's a chacham? A chacham is someone who could take something in what we'll call a sorcerized state, something that has been converted through kishuf, and could convert it back to its natural state. So Paro, according to the Ben Ishchai, wants to do two things. He wants to show...
Say it again.
I'm going to say it slower. I'm going to say it slower. I can even say it in multiple languages, if that's easier. Right? So again, so remember, I'm going to explain once more. Paro summons two people. He wants to, first of all, show that he could replicate the quote-unquote miracle, and he wants to show that he could reverse what Moshe Aaron did. A mechashef, a sorcerer, is someone who takes something from its natural state and through kishuf, through magic, through sorcery, turns it into something else. A chacham is someone who is able to take something that has been sorcerized, right, something from its unnatural state, and what? Take it back to its natural state. So why is this important? Why is this important? Because I think this yields for us an incredible idea. Take a look at number 13. I apologize, I'm just going quickly because of time. The Mishnah, Maseches Avos says, Ben Zoma Omer, Eizehu Chacham. Who is a Chacham? Who is one who is wise? Halomed Mikal Adam. One who is able to learn from every individual. So again, if you look at Rashi and the Bar Tanura, they understand Mikal Adam specifically to be referring to people who are younger than me, not as accomplished as me, and not as important as me. Because the natural disposition of people is that I'm always open and willing to learn from someone who's greater, smarter, more successful than I am, because I feel they have something to offer me. But someone who is younger, less successful, not as wise, has nothing to contribute to me. Ben Zoma says that's unequivocally false. Every single person has some pearl or nugget of wisdom that I can get from them, but I have to be open to it. That's it. Ben Zoma says, Eizehu Chacham, who is wise, halomed mikol adam, from every person, by the way. You understand, this is not just talking about Jewish people. This is, if you open your mind, there is wisdom everywhere in this world, both Jew and Gentile alike. So if a person goes out and keeps his or her eyes open and lives life with a willingness to learn, obviously what this ultimately requires is what?
To be open-minded.
Which requires, don't be so open-minded, but right, what does it require? It requires humility. Humility, right? Because again, if I'm not humble, then I'm not open to learning from anyone. If I'm a humble individual, I'm open to learning from everyone. But watch this. There could also be a different definition for a chacham. Take a look at number 16. What happens? Pasuk says, this is the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. Vayishlach Yaakov malochim lefanav al Esav achiv artes seir sedei adom. What happens? Yaakov sends messengers, whether they're messengers or angels, to Esav. And what does he see? What does he say? Vayitzavo something more. Kos somrun adoni le'esav. This is what you should say to my master, to Esav. Komar abducha Yaakov im lovan garti va'echar adata. Tell Esav, I've lived with Lavan, and I've been with him until now. Rashi HaKadosh makes the famous comment in number 17, Davar Acher, Garti B'Gematria Taryag. So by the way, even if you don't like Gematrias, this is not a Gematria. Right? Remember, again, it's the same letters. The word Garti and Taryag, 613, are the same letters. Kilomar, Em Lavan HaRasha Garti, V'Taryag Mitzo Shamarti. Yaakov Avinu seems to be saying to Esav, go tell Esav, I've lived with Lavan, and I still kept the 613 mitzvahs. Of course, doesn't literally mean 613 mitzvos. What Yaakov is saying is, I've lived with with Lavan, but I've maintained allegiance and fidelity to the Abrahamic tradition. So the obvious question is, who cares? Meaning, you're talking to Esav. Why are you sharing this? Meaning, what is the meaning of this statement that Yaakov Avinu is saying, Im Lavan Garti, I lived with Lavan, v'tayag mitzvah shamarti. Now, I want to show you something interesting. Finish Rashi. Rashi says, v'tayag mitzvah shamarti, v'lo lamarti mima'asav haroim. I did not learn from his negative deeds. Okay. So if you look at number 18, the Lublin Rav, Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin, says something absolutely amazing. Look at the second line. Ha'im zohi darko shel Yaakov, lehisbar b'kiyum ha'mitzvos u'begodlo tzidkaso. See, now we were asking the question of who cares? You know, why is Yaakov sharing this with Lavan? The Lublin Rav says, it sounds a bit like boasting. Why is he boasting that he lived with Lavan and he kept the Taryag mitzvos and he never learned from Lavan's actions? It's just a strange way. Great people do not need to broadcast their accomplishments. In fact, people who feel the need to always talk about their accomplishments, often that reflects an insecurity. Secure people who know that they're living good lives, accomplishing good things, do not have to always talk about what they're doing. So at the end of the day, why does Yaakov Avinu feel the need to share this with Lavan? So look what he writes. Get ready for this. With Esav. Hapeirushu sheYaakov hitzdar. The Lublin Rav gives an amazing chiddush, an amazing insight. He says, Yaakov is not boasting at all. He's lamenting. How is he lamenting? Omnom shamarti tayag mitzvos. It's true. When I lived with Lavan, I was able to go ahead and keep the Torah, keep the mitzvos, maintain fidelity and allegiance to the Abrahamic tradition. I never learned from his ways. But you know, avalo lamarati mi Lavan. Lekayim es hamitzos v'la'asosan ba'ose hislavos u'mesiras nefesh shu ose es ma'asov haroim. Says the Lublin Rav something amazing. Yaakov Avinu was lamenting. What was he lamenting? You know, I maintained my spiritual code when I was with Lavan, but I failed to learn from Lavan. What could Yaakov Avinu, what could the great patriarch Jacob learn from the great Russia, the evil man Lavan? Yaakov said, you know, I saw Lavan was not just, you know, there are recreational sinners, you know, weekend sinners. You know, Lavan wasn't a recreational sinner. It was like a full-time thing, right? He was a pious sinner. He was dedicated to doing bad stuff in life. And Yaakov Avinu says, you know, when I saw Lavan sin, the one thing I observed is he always did so with such passion. He always did so with such dedication. When he wanted to sin, there was nothing that would get in his way. There was his slavos, there was a joy, there was an excitement, there was a passion. And Yaakov Avinu says, you know what? I should have learned from that passion. I should have said, if Lavan could bring that level of passion and excitement to sin, I need to figure out how to bring that level of excitement and passion to my service of God. Mm-hmm. Says the Lublin Rav, Yaakov Avinu is not boasting, just the opposite. He is lamenting. Yes, im Lavan garti v'tayag mitzvos shamarti. It's true. I kept the Torah. I kept the mitzvos. I maintained my religious, ethical values and norms when I was Lavan. But you know, Nebuch, v'lo lamarti mi ma'asav haroim klum. I didn't learn from him. I should have learned from his excitement, from his passion, that nothing, when Lavan wanted to sin, nothing got in his way. You know, Yaakov Avinu says sometimes you want to do a mitzvah, it's important, but what? It's not convenient, it's not the right time, there's other stuff that has to be done. I should have learned from his passion. That's a chacham. That's a chacham. A chacham is someone who is able to learn. See, what does Ben Zoma say? Eizu chacham halomeid mikol adam. That sometimes being a chacham means seeing something. Now we trick this the full way back. What did the Ben Ish Chai say? What's the definition of a chacham? According to the Ben Ish Chai, what's the definition? Someone who could take something in a sorcerized state and take it back to the normal. Sometimes being a chacham means I am in the midst of really bad circumstances, but I could take something from this event. I could extract it, and I could bring it back to regular life. Yaakov Avinu is lamenting, I was not a chacham. I lived by this guy for 22 years. I did anything and everything to avoid being influenced by him, but I didn't learn from him. I should have learned. I should have been a chacham. I should have taken his hislavos, his passion, his excitement, taken it, isolated that midah, reverse engineer it back into my service of God. I should have been a chacham to take something in an impure state and reverse it out and back into a pure state. That's what it means to be a chacham. That spends almost every single situation in life has a lesson to be learned. Every single situation in life, the good ones and the bad ones. And sometimes the worse they are, the more there is to learn. Sometimes, however, we are so overwhelmed by the enormity of our difficult circumstances, we just want to get out of them, extricate ourselves from them, that we forget to learn from them. And that is a lost opportunity. The Ben Ish Chai, the Lublin Rav, Ben Zoma teach us that if you want to truly gain or glean the full impact of your life circumstances, a person always has to ask themselves, what is there to learn in this circumstance? How could I take it from my negative circumstances and take it back to my life? If we bring this all together, this is how you jumpstart the Leif Tahar and the Ruach Nachom. In order to be able to ask the Ribono Shel Olam for a redo, for a new start, for a new beginning, what I have to demonstrate first to God is what I've gleaned and gained from this circumstance. If I say, Ribono Shel Olam, whether you put me in this situation or I got myself into this situation, I'm a stronger, better person because of it. I'm a chacham. Here's what I have learned. Here's what I have gained. Here's the life lesson that is going to inform the way I live until 120. Once you gain that morsel, that pearl, that nugget of chachma from your life circumstances, that's when you could turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Ribono Shel Olam, Leiv Tahar Bera Li Elokim V'Ruach Nachon Chadesh Bekirbi. I've gone through the circumstance, either through my own decisions or because of things you have done to me. I've learned from it. I've used my chachma to extract the lesson, and I'm ready now to start again. I'm ready to get off the shoulder. I'm ready to get back onto the freeway of life, and I'm ready to continue to search forward and to journey forward to all the important and beautiful finish lines. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll be Hashem pick up. We'll do one more shir on Kapitel Nun Aleph 51 next week.